We're not really supposed to talk about money, are we? We're supposed to hide away our successes or our fears or believe that money is still the root of all evil. And yet for those of us as coaches, well, for all of us, right, we've got bills to pay. We need to keep the roof over our head. What's our salary? How much are we earning? How can we grow next year? How can we set bigger goals? And in this week's episode of Burnoutology, I want to share with you how looking at my income for the last year was exactly the boost that I needed to say that I'm on the right track, particularly having lived the worst year of my entire life. So today, we're going to talk money. And so if that's not for you, feel free to switch off. But that's where we are taking this episode of Burnoutology. So welcome. This is Burnoutology, the podcast. This is my uncut, unedited, unscripted podcast that comes out to you every single Tuesday at 7 a.m. UK time. And so with it being unscripted and unedited, you might get the ums and the ahs and the noises and the dog barking, and it might not be recorded in the best quality sound, but this is what we get, right? This is my permission slip to not have to be perfect in everything, right? The flaws and the pauses and whatever comes from these episodes is exactly what I need to say and hopefully what you need to hear at the right time. If whether you are new or whether you are a returning listener, a quick recap. I've discovered this year that I've had a 12-year diagnosis. November last year, 2024, I was in debilitating pain. I managed to make it through my book launch on the 29th of November. And I did one speaking gig last November, the week before my book launch. That was pretty much all I could do throughout November. Those two things really, really mattered to me. My speaking gig, I'd bought a beautiful velvet floral suit to rock on the stage. And for my book launch, I had some of the most amazing people, my very, very favourite humans, all together in one room to celebrate the launch of my last book. And I knew those two things had to happen. And I had lots of help from family and friends in making both of those things incredible. But then I'd really gone into hibernation. My body felt like it was shutting down. And so December and January, I not did any client work. I just need to stop. I moved some Burnout Academy dates. I just thought I need to kind of let this thing happen. I didn't know it was going to last for an entire year, but I just thought a couple of months off, allow myself to kind of hibernate over winter and I'll come back stronger. And I didn't. I ended up having scans and biopsies and painful hysteroscopies. And I ended up crying in appointments with consultants who were telling me, you've got to wait another 18 months. I've had days over the last 12 months where the pain has just been so unbearable and nothing has been touching it that I have contemplated driving my car in front of lorries as I've been coming down slip roads and just thinking at least the pain would go. Thankfully, I didn't have many of those thoughts before getting myself back into therapy. And I've been working with an amazing therapist for the last kind of 6 months or so. We're taking a little break at the moment. I'm going to go back with her in January, and I'll explain that now. I've had my operation. I've had all this pain. I've paid for my own operation. I've paid over £9,000 for my own operation. I've just come back from 6 weeks off work. And as part of my recovery, I had a moment, and we get this with burnout, don't we? We think we've got to pay our way out of it, or think our way out of it, or learn our way out of it. And I had a week, probably week, I don't even know what week it was, maybe week three or four post-recovery. And I had all sorts of thoughts in my head and feelings in my body. I thought, I've got to do something with this. And I need a new coach. I need to contact Colette and arrange my next therapy session. I need a new coach. I need coaches. I need training. I need learning. I need therapies. I need holistic well-being. I wanted to buy all the supplements, do all the work, sign up for all the programs, do all the therapy, work with the best coaches that I could afford. Like, I was like, I need to go into that. And I just then had this moment of, what if all you need to do right now is just be with yourself? Just to listen to yourself, to pay attention to yourself. What if all the answers you need right now are in you? And I sat and journaled with that for a good few hours, actually. I did some meditations. And I was like, okay, right, this is the thing. So I've not signed up for any more courses. I've put my master's on hold until January. I've contacted my therapist, so I'll be in contact again in January. I had convinced myself that I'd be back with my PT and back in the gym in November. And I've contacted Georgia to say, can we do January? And that for me has been amazing. And yet, of course, there are some lows. I've come back to work. I've realised that my LinkedIn feed still is like utter tumbleweed. Like, if 300 people out of the 20,500 followers that I've got on there, I mean, if 300 people are seeing my posts at the moment, that's a good day. Obviously, it's not a good day. Because again, I still continue to say this, I don't want to be like a viral sensation, but there is a reason that the likes of Amazon and McDonald's still advertise, because you need to be in people's heads, right? You need to talk to them about value and show them the value and do all of that stuff. So whether we love McDonald's or love Amazon or hate them or not, they're still advertising every single day. On every place that you could possibly, right? They're on TV, they're on social media, they're on papers, they're on bus stops, they're on the side of buses, they're everywhere. And so when I see people commenting stop being so vain about how many views you've got on LinkedIn, I can't do the work that I know I'm here to do if nobody is seeing the work that I'm talking about. That's kind of where I'm getting to. So over the last week, I've loved it. I've started the Master Burnout Coach program that is filling me with so much joy. I've also had, last week, I ran the last of this year, the last 2-day Burnout Informed Coach. I had people booked on, and then people started dropping like flies. I've had people cancel because of illness. I've had people cancel because of work commitments. I've had all sorts of stuff. So I delivered the academy last week, the 2-day academy, the 2-day training, to one person. Now, I'd contacted her the week before to say, look, I'm having all these people drop out at the minute. It's just going to be me and you. I can offer you a free upgrade. So I offered her a big freebie, a big generous freebie, to say sorry for messing you around if you want to move until February. And she said, no, I want to go ahead with the training. The day before that, so last Tuesday, I had this moment, and I am still recovering. Maybe I have been pushing myself a little bit too far at times. So last Monday, for example, I delivered a 90-minute session in the morning to the Burnout Academy. I'd been on my mat first thing, I'd done my yoga, I'd been on my bike, I'd taken the dog for a walk, I'd recorded a podcast, I'd done a 90-minute session, we still had builders in the house. Then I delivered the 3-hour session to the Master Burnout coaches. I cleared some emails, I then went shopping, I did sorted recordings and sent a couple of emails, and Tuesday morning came and I was just, ugh. Now, I'm still working part-time at the moment. I'd given myself permission to take Tuesday off. And I thought, I'm gonna lay in bed for a bit longer. I'm just gonna lay in bed. But I'm a morning person. So actually, once I'm up and about. But I knew I also needed some rest. I thought, I'll sit and do my journaling now. So I put some nice relaxing music on and lit a candle. Thought, I'm just gonna do some journaling. Let's start slow today. I can still get on my mat at any point today. I can still get on my bike at any point today. I can still do dinner. Cause of course, now I can move again. I can stand and do stuff in the kitchen. But I had this moment, and it might have come from the exhaustion, might have come from the tiredness, might have come because it's a seasonal stuff, but I had this moment, and as I was kind of journaling, I had this moment of, am I doing the right thing? Is my work the right thing? Now, of course, the day before, I've got messages of, this is amazing, I want to join the Burnout Coach Collective, give me all of the information, I want to join the next master's training, I'm loving the master's training, I've got messages about how amazing the master's training is and how amazing all of the work is that I do, and there's all of that going. And yet on Tuesday morning, all I could process, all I had in my head was, you're clearly doing completely the wrong thing. You've only got one person booked onto the training for the next 2 days. Like, how, like, what sort of failure are you? That's not good enough. How are you going to get this message out there if you've only got one person? And I started to spiral into, well, it's not going to be any better next year, is it? How will you find the people next year? What will you have done? You're not going to earn any money. You're not going to be able to keep the roof over your head. You're not going to be able to do this. I spiraled into that space so quickly. And I knew I needed to get myself out of it. So I went back to, okay, you've only got one person booked, but actually, how many people have you got booked onto the master's? And again, my master's program started the Monday that I came back from 6 weeks off. So I had 6 weeks off work in the preceding 6 weeks before I started the Master Burnout Coach program. And I still have six people that have joined me for the Master Burnout Coach program. This is my 12-month, £12,000 program. And I have got six people on that program with me. Having had 6 weeks off work, 6 weeks off social media for the 6 weeks leading up to that program starting. That's an achievement. I also then thought, actually, this time last year, you were struggling to stand. Right, we're in December now, right? At the time that you're listening to this, we're in December. This time last year, you were struggling to stand. You were struggling to get out of bed. You were struggling to function. You were struggling to do anything. It was the first time that we've had a Christmas and I've literally had to sit on the sofa and allow everybody to do stuff around me because I couldn't get off the sofa to move at Christmas. I struggled around my son's birthday the week before Christmas. I had to go for a scan on the 17th of December, the day before my son's birthday. I struggled to get on and off the bed for them to do the scan because I was in so much pain. I spent all of Christmas worrying because I had to go for a scan and a biopsy and a hysteroscopy on the 30th of December. And I couldn't drive myself to that appointment because I was in so much pain. So I started to journal actually this time last year compared to where you were. And I've looked at, I've done an entire total. I have delivered 9 days of physical work in the Burnout Academy over the last 12 months. I've done an absolute total of 20 days of delivery over the last 12 months. 20 days of delivery in total over the last 12 months. I've also had house renovations going on and I've had days out. I've spoken on stage with Dame Kelly Holmes. I've had Vicky Patterson come to my house to interview me for segments on Good Morning Britain. I've, as part of those 20 days, I've been doing podcast interviews and webinars and sessions for organisations and membership groups, and I've invested in learning and training, and I've started my master's, and I've invested with some really phenomenal coaches to get me to hopefully, you know, not that I've been able to do any of the work from that because it was all about, you know, being visible, getting more on stages. I've had to cancel all of my, apart from the Kelly Holmes event back in March, but I've had to cancel all of my in-person events from March. I went to one event to support a friend and had to specifically ask for a seat at the back of the room because I was struggling to stand. I was struggling to move. I was struggling to sit. As in, if I'm coming, I need to be at the back of the room so I can escape, so I can stand, so I can move, so I can try and keep myself comfortable. That's it. That's all I've done. I've not done the stages this year. I've not done the big stages this year. I've not done the global speaking this year. I've not been featured in all the magazines and the press this year because I've not had the mental capacity to actually write any articles that would probably go. But I was able to sit and journal this morning about all of the good stuff that's happened. And actually, in spite of all of this pain, the way in which I've had to reshape my business to still keep a business, but get the business working for me whilst I've not been able to get out of bed every day, whilst I've needed to do minimal amounts of work, but I still needed to earn some money. Now, perhaps foolishly, and some of this is my own, my bipolar that I live with. Again, thanks burnout. But money is one of the things that I avoid looking at. I have a real worry about it. Now, I do my accounts, keep on top of my monthly accounts, my bookkeeping, all of that sort of stuff. But actually, it's either like I've got money in the bank or I haven't. And that is very often very frustrating, very often quite worrying. Unfortunately, it is a side effect of my bipolar. I really, really have to force myself to look at the numbers. And I mean force myself to look at the numbers. I'm also really brilliant at spending constantly. And I have safeguards in place in the house, in the way in which I manage my money to ensure that, you know, I have no debt at all. To make sure that there is, you know, at least a small savings pot, there is a small cushion. Again, this year I've had to pay unexpected money for stuff in the house. I've had to pay over £9,000 for my hysterectomy that I wasn't expecting. I've paid out a lot this year. And yet I had this moment this morning that actually still for me, success can look like a number. And even when I was in corporate, right, I'm climbing this corporate ladder and it was like, okay, when I get to six figures, that will mean that I've been successful at my work and I exceeded six figures. And okay, let's go again. So then it was more and I kept, you know, the next salary increase was going to be the one that made me happy to prove that I was good enough, to prove that I was successful enough. And of course, we know that money isn't the thing to give us any of that. And yet for me, there's still this, if I hit a figure, if I earn a figure, then I've been successful. And I've had to reframe that this year, actually, because some days for me this year, success has meant getting out of bed. Success has meant getting in the shower and not coming out utterly exhausted. Success has meant going for a dog walk and not coming back in crippling pain. Success has meant 6 weeks of recovery and not spending any time on social media at all and still coming back to a business and a level of visibility. Success has meant getting more clarity about the direction that I want to take my business in. Success has meant, how do I get the message out there about the stuff that I'm doing? Success has meant, how can I create the impact? And yet, on mornings like this one, where I'm sat thinking, well, I've only got one person booked on my course and therefore I'm a big failure because actually I'm not earning any money really for the next 2 days. And it's, you know, I'm a big fat failure and I don't know what I'm doing. And my entire business model is a complete and utter mess. And I'm the worst person in the entire world. Something came to me this morning, thought, well, let's just have a look at that. Let's have a look at those numbers. And I've looked at numbers from the 1st of December, 1st of November, rather, 2024, up until the end of November, 2025. And during that time, I've paid for my book launch. As I said, I've invested in coaches. I've paid for a hysterectomy. I've had more than 16 weeks of just sitting and doing nothing and not really focusing on my business at all because I've just not had the energy. Some of those weeks, 10 of those weeks, I've still been a little bit active on my socials, But actually, for the majority of those, I haven't. I've not been at full capacity. I've not been creating my best content. I've not been writing my best emails. I've not been delivering in the best possible way. I've not been as visible as I would be ordinarily. And still, I have managed to get into my bank account over the last 12 months, £160,545. In my lowest, most uncomfortable, most challenging, difficult and painful year ever, where I've had mornings where I've wanted to drive off the road, where I have desperately wanted to hang on to my life and gone back into therapy and spent weeks ugly crying and not knowing where to go or what to do. I have spent hours crying in consultant offices, just wanting my life back. I have felt like the biggest failure on days where I've not even been able to get up and make myself a cup of tea, or where I could have been able to see my partner really, really struggling because not only has he been working 12, 14, 16 hour days, he's then been coming home, having to sort the dog and the meals and the house and the cooking because I have not either been able to get out of bed or get off the sofa because I have been in so much pain. I've had days where I've ended up in A&E on morphine, with morphine not even touching the sides of how I'm feeling, because I've spent a day curled up in a ball on the floor, not being able to move because of the pain that I have been in. And yet I knew that I needed to keep moving, to keep going, and to doing the very, very best that I could to keep my business surviving. Because again, right, this is mission driven for me. All of the pain that I have been in over the last 12 months, all of these 12 years of misdiagnosis stemmed from that first burnout. The first burnout where if my coaches had been able to spot some of those signs, if my coaches had been burnout informed, they could have coached differently in a way that could have allowed me to prevent that burnout, to avoid that first burnout, to avoid that second burnout. First burnout nearly killed me. First burnout made me seriously ill. Second one nearly killed me. That has been my reality. And I say to everybody that I'm on workshops with, I know that my burnout was an extreme case. We see people talk about burnout and they're not ending up in hospital. They're not ending up with lifelong health conditions. They're not ending up with lifelong mental health conditions. They're not living with chronic conditions. It's not impacting them that way. And yet I've coached over 700 leaders through burnout, and the majority of them are living with now some kind of trace of burnout within them, either mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, in their relationships, in their career. There is a marked stain where you can still see where burnout has been visible for all of them. And so these days of I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough, I'm the biggest failure in the entire world can happen. More so when you're in burnout and starting to come through the other side, because you think you are the problem. And that's where I was at on this day, on the Tuesday before I delivered this 2-day training to one person. It was my fault. I was not good enough. I was not doing the right thing. I wasn't successful enough. I wasn't earning enough money. I wasn't doing any of that stuff. And yet, through 9 days of Burnout Academy delivery, 20 days in total delivery over more than 12 months, £160,000 is in my bank account. And that has been the boost that I needed. That's been the boost that I needed to go and deliver that 2-day training. The work that I do makes a difference. It's creating an impact. It's giving others the tools that they need to help others in preventing burnout. It's also shown me that if I can do that in my worst ever year, absolute rock bottom, not wanting to be here anymore because I just wanted the pain to go, if I can do that in my worst possible year, imagine what I could do if next year were to become my best year, or the year after that were to become my best year. And I know I've proven to myself this year that I do not need to be working 7 days a week, 365 days a year in order to bring success into my life. This year has proven to me, I want more time with my family. I want more time with my sons. I want more time to be able to focus on my house and my health and being able to spend more time outside with the dog, being able to be more creative. Some of my best ideas this year have come whilst I've been doing like my paint by numbers or whilst I've been, I don't know, slowly decorating a wall in the house. Like, I mean, again, I'm not at the energy, but I like decorating, painting, drawing, writing. They're the things where I get a lot of my creativity, where I'm on my yoga mat, where I'm walking the dog. And they have shrunk so much over the last 12 months. But on the days that I have been able to do them, where I've been able to sit on the floor for an hour and start painting the bottom of a wall in a house, on those days, I've had some of my best ideas, some of my best feelings, some of my, this is what I want. And I do want a business that works around me. I want a business that works around my life. I want a business where I can work part-time and focus on my health and be on my yoga mat and be with my sons and all of that. And this year, without any kind of real plan, this year really has been created out of necessity. I just had to say to myself this time last year, last November, I had to say, what am I going to do? And I said, I'm just going to focus on the academy stuff. If I can just do the academy, I can keep the roof over my head. I can do, you know, a couple of days here and there in the academy. Just going to need to stop everything else. I haven't got the energy to do it. That's a decision that I made. It's paid off. I'd have to say I've still got, you know, tons of money in the bank, but I haven't. But I've done it. I've made it happen. And what I've been looking at over the course of the last couple of weeks is how I can build the academy, still do it, I suppose, doing less than I would have been doing 2 years ago, but whilst creating a bigger impact. That's been my focus. So the day that you'll be listening to this, the Burnout Coach Collective will have opened its doors. I've got discount codes available. Email me and you might get one of those discounts. But the Burnout Coach Collective is open. Burnout Academy doors are open. The Master Burnout Coach program won't start again until, I'm still deciding, I want to say January 2027, and then I go, no, started again in November 26. But the Master Burnout Coach program is a once a year program. But the money this morning, seeing that figure this morning, showed me that I've done it. I have survived my worst ever year. With the most wonderful people around me, the people that matter most, have been my biggest supporters this year. I have been able to survive my worst year with the support of incredible people and still earn really bloody good money from 20 days of delivery over an entire 12 months. And I've done it all by doing less. And that's been, I suppose, a focus of mine for the last few years. How can I make a bigger impact and earn more whilst doing less? And this year, against all odds, I've bloody done it. And I'm still here. And I'm feeling better than I have done in 12 years. So imagine what my life and my energy and my business and my career and my impact could look like 12 months from now when I'm not at rock bottom. I think that's going to be really bloody exciting. But also, seeing that figure this morning, it's given me the you've done it moment, but actually it's made me realise that all of the things that I've stopped and started, the way in which I focused on me for this 12 months, that's what's made it successful. What do I need? What do I need to stay well? What do I need to stay motivated? What do I need to stay driven? What do I need to, I don't know, what do I need to get me out of bed this morning? What do I need to help me stay in bed this morning? What's it going to take to get me out of the house today? What's it going to take to keep me in the house today? My entire focus for the last 12 months has been on me. And it probably sounds quite bizarre, right? Because I, over the course of the last 12 years, and when I talk about the burnout equation, right, toxicity minus sense of self equals burnout, the fact that we have to be our biggest priority, building that sense of self in us, in ourselves, for ourselves, really understanding who we are and what we want and our values and all that stuff. And I've been on that bloody journey 12 bloody years now, and I was doing it all before. You know, I've been on this personal development journey probably my entire bloody life. And yet being forced to slow down over the last 12 months has made me focus on me. And I have been really selfish. And I've said to all of my family, the focus has to be on me this year. My focus has to be on me this year. And now I'm able to start paying that back to family. It was, you know, just small things that I've been able to start doing over the course of the last few weeks that my family are really, really grateful for. And they can now start to see the change in me. My friends can start to see some of that change in me. But I had to be my own priority in order to get me to do that. And in doing so, it has helped me reach a brilliant figure, financial figure in my business over the last 12 months. I'm sure most people would only be able to dream of, and are pushing themselves to do that 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. I'm not here to give you business advice or business models or any of that sort of stuff. There are coaches out there that will tell you that they've got the thing, the strategy, the framework, the model, the sales script, the thing that is going to be what you need to get you to hit 2K months, 5K months, 10K months. Now, it might not be the figure that is your idea of success. And I suppose, again, for me this year, I think I've realised that seeing that figure has proven that everything I've been doing for me this year has allowed me to still be here and has allowed me to be the success. But I wasn't chasing money this year. I didn't start with, I want to earn this much. I didn't start with any financial figure. I started with, well, I've not even had a plan. This is the first year really where I've not been like, in 12 months' time, this is where I want to be. Because my only focus for the last 12 months has been, I just need to get through today. So I've completely turned my usual way of doing anything completely on its head. Success for me has meant I still want to be here tomorrow. But the focus on me and what I have needed and how I want to deliver it and how I want to make it happen, that's what's been successful for me. So you can keep paying the coaches hundreds, tens, whatever, it, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, hundreds of pounds, whatever it is that you're paying them. And I'm a huge advocate for coaching. I'm still working with coaching. I'm still working with therapists. But if you're choosing to work with coaches that are giving you their model for success, pay me thousands of pounds and I will get you hitting earning 10K months, and then you don't hit it. And then they'll tell you it's a mindset issue or a blocking issue, or you're not manifesting things properly. We've talked about this in some of the previous podcasts, right? We're focused on 200 truths, and we are going to come back to those 200 truths. But if this year has taught me anything, it's that your business, your coaching business, your career has to work for you. And when it works for you, it works. The money will come. Your version of success will come when you focus on you. And that's, some of that is not new for me. Some of that is I've been, you know, when I'm deeply loving the work that I'm doing, you know, the year that I launched the Burnout Academy, I had my best few months ever. Like loved it. And it just felt so easy. We don't have magic. I can't say to you, do this thing and you'll never ever reach burnout again in your life. I wish I had a magic wand to say, let's stop. But I've created the tools and the frameworks to allow that to happen. That's what I'm teaching in the Burnout Coach Collective. That's what I'm teaching in the Master Burnout Coach Program. That's what I'm teaching in the 2-day Burnout Informed Coach. I think all coaches need to understand how to spot burnout, because with up to 70% of leaders experiencing it, with up to 60% of the workforce experiencing it, with burnout not even having to be work-related, at the moment, even if we look at it statistically, at least half of the population are at or on the brink of burnout. And as coaches, we have an amazing opportunity to stop that when we know what to look for. And I can give you the tools for that. I'm not here to tell you how to run your business. That's on you. But I can give you the tools to stop burnout in its tracks. That, for me, is that's what's getting me out of bed. But the money, seeing that over the last 12 months, from hitting my rock bottom year, knowing that I have been able to earn over £160,000 in 12 months, have that in my bank, has given me, if I needed it, clearly I did. The day before delivering a two-day training to just one person, I did need some kind of proof that what I was doing was the right thing. And the money was it for me. Yours might not be money, but there will be a tell in what you're doing as to whether you're doing the right thing or on the right track, whether you should keep going. Because I've had this inner knowing that's been telling me it's okay, just keep going. But sometimes we think about that inner knowing, don't we? And we're like, but what if it's wrong? And sometimes we need to journal it out and ask, what if it's right? Where is the proof that what you are doing is the right thing? That's what I started my journaling with this morning. Where's the proof that what I'm doing is right? And I found it. So what's yours? What is the proof that what you are doing is right? I'm going to leave you there for today. That's been well over my 20-minute usual time frame. But I hope today has been helpful for you. I hope that's given you something. As I said, we will be back with the 200 truths soon. But at the moment, I'm finding these break from the truths. Maybe they're quite cathartic. Maybe they are the healing for me that I needed, the being able to voice some of the realizations and some of the learning that I've had over the last 6 weeks. I don't know how many episodes of these breaks from the truth you're going to get, but hopefully you'll find them useful until we get back to our 200 truths. For now, I'm going to say thank you very much for listening. If you have found this episode helpful and you think you know somebody else that might like to listen, please do give it a share, give it a like, give it some love, give it a comment if you want to, but please just keep on sharing, because we change burnout, right? We stop burnout one conversation at a time. So even if this can be somebody's earworm for today and help them to see things differently, then I hope that does the trick. But please do like, do share, do comment, do all of that great stuff. Do subscribe. Maybe if you've not already subscribed, then you can get it into your inbox every single Tuesday. Who doesn't want me in their ear every Tuesday morning? But for now, I'm going to say thank you very much for joining me. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for being fabulous. Thank you for being here. And I will be back with you again next Tuesday, 7 a.m. for more Burnoutology. Take care for now. Bye-bye.